But I am Julie Hawtrey. As you can see, when he called me up here, this is very awkward for me. I prefer being down there. Not being seen would be best for me, but God has a different plan, so I'm trying to obey, but but anyway, but thank you, Mrs. Vaughn, Mr. Vaughn also, too, for the opportunity to speak here. I don't take that lightly. It is an honor. Any time I do get the opportunity, even though I fight tooth and nail with God and jump until I have to do it, but my prayer is this, that something or another. I am scattered brain. I'm just going to go ahead and let you know. That's what I told Ms. Vaughn. I'm just going to tell y'all, buckle up. Hang on for the ride, because we're going to go from here to there, whatever. Whatever this brain is doing is going to be scattered. I may start talking about giving you homework from one of my children's. I don't know. But it's all up here. So try to make sense of it in some way. But I thought I wanted to talk a little bit about overcoming trials in your marriage. But in order for me to speak on that, I feel like I got to kind of give a little testimony of myself. Not that you care, but it kind of just to let you know what I've been through kind of personally, and just kind of share personally with the trials that I've been able, that God's been able to bring our family through with the trials and things like that. And then maybe in some way or another, with whatever you're facing or whatever you're going through, God can use it in some way to help you through the trials. But I was saved at the age of 8, grew up in church. Daniel and I got married. Obviously, I'm going from a lot, from age 8, now I'm married. But Daniel and I got married. We got 3 boys. Yes, I am wrapped up in senior world right now, but only because I feel like I'm hanging on to a rope, y'all, a little string. Like, it's it. He goes away to college and he's gone. We all know once college happens, nothing is normal again with them. So he's involved in sports. We've always tried to be there for sports and things like that. So yes, everybody might be on the back burner, but they don't have to be. They can get on this train with me and go with me, is what I'm saying. So let's just go with this. But I do. That's where I'm at. He's 17. And then I've got a 13-year-old. Daniel is a 17-year-old. Hudson, 13. Caden is 10. Caden is our little miracle fella. We had, obviously, Hudson and Daniel. And then Caden, when we went to find out the gender that we were having with him when we were pregnant, we were told that he had a heart defect called hypoplastic left heart syndrome, which is the 4 chambers of the heart. The bottom left chamber is not formed. It's not there, basically. And that's where the blood flow goes everywhere. I am not medically inclined, I'll let you know. So I hear my baby's hurting, my baby could die. That's all I hear. That's all I heard throughout everything. My husband would be the one to listen to more of the details and things like that. So they said that once Caden was born, he would go through 3 series of open heart surgeries, 1 at 3 days old, 1 at 3 months old, 1 at 3 years, 2 to 3 years old. And we were right on it. At 3 days old, Caden had his first open heart surgery, 50-50 chance with it. After his open heart surgery, he was so swollen that they had to leave his chest open. They couldn't even close it. So then there was fear of definitely infection and things like that. It was very critical for the 48 hours of it, not knowing. But throughout the whole pregnancy with him before, I mean, I struggled with it. You'd feel him, you know, I'd feel him kick, and I'm thinking, Lord, is this all I'm going to get with him? You know, will he survive? Struggled with it. Didn't enjoy the pregnancy at the beginning. When I say I didn't enjoy it, I just cried. I cried, not knowing. But I want to know. I want to know, but I don't need to know. If I knew, it would not be good. But so Caden went through the first open heart surgery at 3 days old. We were in the hospital for 4 months. They had to do the second open heart surgery. He had to be a certain weight in order to even survive the second one, but he got to the point that either he was going to die or they'd have to do it. So they took the chance to doing it. But he was just right under the weight limit that needed to be, and he was about 3 months. So they went through that surgery. He survived. He did well. We actually got to go home about 3 weeks after the second open heart surgery. And then at 3 years old, right before he turned 4, actually, he was already 3. So right before, it was in September of, he was born in October. He went through the other one. But backing up, though, after he had had his first open heart surgery, he had been in the hospital. It was already 2 weeks past delivery, and he was in recovery, just trying to strengthen his body from the open heart surgery. They came in and said that Caden has cystic fibrosis as well, which is a chronic lung disease and pancreatic disease as well. So, of course, me as a mama, I'm thinking, it's my fault, right? What did I do? My son not only has this heart defect, but he has cystic fibrosis as well. I did something wrong, right? And I was told no. I still think maybe I might have, but that's just the guilt of a mom. But with this trial, as any of us go through any trials, we would never ask for it. Never would we ask for the trial. Never would I say, God, give me a child that's going to suffer. Give me a child that's going to hurt. Give me a child that's going to be delayed. Give me a child that's going to know that he's different with anything. But through this, y'all, I should have brought a picture of this kid, because let me tell you, anybody would walk in and they're just drawn to him. God just does that. God just does that. That people are just drawn to him and they fall in love with him to the fact that they want to be a help to him, you know, and to know. But he is the most pleasant, happy child, toughest kid I know. Toughest kid I know. I'm like bawling when he's going through things. And he's like, it's okay, Mom. It's okay. And I'm like, but I know it is okay. It is okay. I'm like, crying. But he truly is. He's what joy he's brought to our family, and what joy watching my two older boys with him, and then watching my two older boys go through this trial with us and grow and see just exactly how great God is. That's always been my prayer for my boys. I want them to know God. I want them to know that God's real personally for them, not because mom and dad do. And, you know, God's allowed that in situations and things in their life, and then things with Caden. But so during the first 4 months there in the hospital, my husband, this was a new trial. This was something neither one of us have ever faced before. We were feeling emotions. We were feeling physical tiredness, you know, just mentally drained that we've never felt before. This was all new going through it. So we don't know how each other are going to handle it and things like that. But, you know, we had our moments after he was there. My husband was there for everything, every doctor's appointment, everything. I mean, day to day, he was taking over the church to become the head pastor at Kerwin, where we're at currently now. His mom was dying of cancer. It was just all of it was just, God's like, you can't handle this in spaces. I'm just going to boom, throw it at one time. So I'm like, okay. All right, Jesus, as long as you're there. But but he was there. But after having it, you know, we had our moments together where it's just like, you're not there for me, you know, just had my meltdown. But I mean, I was exhausted. And so he's hearing me, you're not there for me. And he's looking around like, I haven't left your side. So it hurt him. But my words, what I was saying, y'all all know, you look at a man and say, you're not here for me. Yeah, you're here for me, but you're not here for me. So he was dealing with all this hurt and this trial as if I'm a failure as a dad. My son is suffering and I can't fix this. I want to fix this. Me as a mother, I'm like, I want to comfort him. I want to hold him. I want him to not hurt. And just the trials to face like that. And then it came to the point, you know, he was really hurt by it. And I'm like, well, I don't really care. I mean it. You know, you weren't. But it's just the fact that he was checking out to the fact of the nurses are coming in and working on him. And he's like, I felt like he was mean to him. He wasn't mean to him. He wouldn't speak to him. And I'm like, I gotta carry this conversation. I'm exhausted. But he was just like, no, they're coming in. They're going to hurt him. And if I say anything, it's not going to be nice. And I know they're just doing their job. So we had to figure each other's healing process, I guess. What it took for him to heal, what it took for him to get through this trial, and what it took for me. But one of my all-time favorite verses is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that, y'all, within a nutshell, is what we can cling to when things just don't make sense. I mean, if you try to understand God's ways, I don't understand why God has these sick babies. Why do they have to suffer? Why do they have to do that? But God does. I don't need to understand that, but I need to just cling to that. God, I don't need to understand that. I just need to trust you and to see your goodness through it and what you're going to do to help through it. And he has. He strengthened Caden. Caden's 10 years old. He just turned 10 October 11th. And that is a miracle in itself. Prior to his birthday, just a week before, we went into his cardiologist. And Caden's like laid out across the table, not even fitting on the table. And the doctor comes in. He's like, I never would have believed it. I never thought it. You know, who would have thought he's 10 years old and he's hanging off this table now? He was so teeny and tiny. And it was really, his cardiologist came in to the point and is like, we have to do this third surgery or nothing else, you know. So God's been good. God's been good. I mean, we're still facing a trial every single day with Caden. He's with his sicknesses. It's the cystic fibrosis, his heart, the whole process of it depends highly on his lungs, and his lungs depend highly on his heart. So he's the only second one in history with the two together. And they don't have any more data on the first one, is all we know. So anytime Caden goes through anything, they're always saying he's writing the textbook for it. So they're all learning with it. So his heart doctor relies on his cystic fibrosis doctor. His cystic fibrosis doctor relies on the heart doctor just to see how things do. But it's to the point that this didn't surprise God. This didn't surprise God at all. He knew. So Caden is in his hands daily. And that's what we cling to and trust. But in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It says Peter's saying, don't be surprised at the painful trial and suffering, as though this trial is something strange happening to you. He's saying it's expected. Christians are going to go through trials. Don't be surprised when trials do come into your life. Don't be asking, why? Why me? Why now? I totally said that with Caden. I'm thinking, God, we're in the ministry. We're trying to serve you. Why? Why me? Why would you put this in there? And then it got to the point, and then I was like, God, why not me? Why not me? Thank you for trusting me with this. So I'm going to trust you to help me through it and to help guide me and to give me the strength to do what's best for Caden in these needs. But I said through this, God knew Daniel would be taking over the church. God knew Daniel's mom was going to be dying of cancer with all this. But with all these trials that we were facing, it just knitted our hearts together with our church. Our church went on this journey with us, with Caden, his mom, and then taking over the church from a pastor that had been there retiring after 50 years. So none of this was shocking. None of this should have been, why is this happening, Lord, or whatever. But we're human. That's our instincts always, to ask, why is this happening? Why are we having to go through this? But in trying to overcome trials in a marriage, every Christian marriage, we just need to face that fact. We're going to have trials. Okay, this is going to happen. I don't think any of us really are walking around like, we're not going to have any trials. If you are, talk to me later. I'll let you know. But no. But for trials is another opportunity to experience oneness in a marriage. I know with trials, y'all, that's when I get the closest to God. And it can go either way. You can choose. Okay. All right. God. You're going to take it as if, like, you're doing this to hurt me. You're doing this on purpose. God's never doing anything for bad. He's doing it to get closer to you. It's oneness in marriage, but it's also oneness with God. It's the closest. And as through these trials with Caden, this was the most difficult thing I'd ever faced in my life, and still has at this point. But the closeness that it brought our family together. You know, my husband and I up and down with things like this, but it's to the fact of, okay, realizing, wait a minute, we're in a trial. You know, let's see what God's trying to teach us. Let's see what God's trying to do, and to bind our hearts together and bring that oneness together. And it says that through trials, God can move us towards more of intimacy with him and our spouse, or you can choose to go the other way. I think the way choosing toward God is the much better way. But whenever it says that God was like, it's going to bring a oneness. Somebody came up to me afterwards when Caden was going through this and all that and said, you know what, this is going to make you a better pastor's wife. You're going to have more compassion for someone to go through, which is true. But I went home and I cried to Daniel and I said, I don't want it then. Is this what it's going to take to be a pastor's wife or to try to be a better one? That my son, I got to sit there and watch this? I don't want this. But with through that, God has taught so much. I wouldn't have asked for that trial. 10 years later, I'm thanking God for it. I'm thanking God for what he did through it in our lives and in our family. I still don't think I would purposely ever ask for something something that hurtful, that devastating that you got to go through and you got to face. But once you go through it, because you're not, God sees the other side of it. That's the thing. When we're going through the trials, we're in the middle of the thick of it. And we're going through it and we can't see the other side. And that's what we have to cling to. God sees the entire picture of it all. God sees what you're going through. He's walking right through it with you the whole time. Even though it feels at times he's not away. I mean, he's far away. But a lot of times you need to look and say, am I the one far away? Because God doesn't move. God's there. If he's not close to you, you're the one that's moved away further from him. But 2, recognize trials. Recognize it, saying, okay, all right, yeah, we're in a trial. Now let's recognize this trial that we're in. Trials produce a variety of symptoms of warning, symptoms and warning signals, such as inability to sleep, sometimes sleeping too much, depression, argumentative attitude. That's me. I go through trials and I get argumentative and defensive, be like, you know. Anyway, that's me. And then sometimes it causes like health problems. They come from different sources, such as people, work situations, sin, relatives, or Satan itself. If you recognize a trial you're facing, then you can make sure your spouse is aware of it. A lot of times if you're the one going through it, if you can recognize, wait a minute, why am I being so argumentative? Why am I being so defensive? You know, am I facing something right now? Am I going through something? And you could sit and talk with your spouse in the fact of, okay, look, this is what I'm dealing with. This is why I'm this way. Because a lot of times that's when arguments start. It's just the tone. I have a very good tone that just puts it right out there. I'm like, what? Why are you upset? And it's like, well, what did you... Look how you just said it. And I'm like, oh, this is the way I said it, right? And it's not, y'all. It sounds different in my head and my ears than it does actually coming out. So that, and y'all know, it's truthful when they do it to you. If they come in like, hey, like what? And then that's always immediate. That's what's coming back. And you're like, I was just saying, hey. But it is a tone thing too. So that can start things. And then once you recognize it's a trial and you can tell him, say, hey, okay, wait a minute. This is what I'm facing. You know, this is what I'm anxious about, and it's what's causing me to be this way. Because a lot of times things are going on in our minds and our hearts that, you know, your husband, they just don't understand. They are completely different than us, y'all. Like completely. Have a same conversation that means 2 different things. Completely. And I think just coming to the realization of that, like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, once you realize it, what you're facing, you know, I'm upset to the fact of, you know, I've got all this on my plate, and that's why I'm being this defensive to you and all this stuff like that. And then you can make a plan together. Once you come, make him aware of things. When you quickly recognize a trial, you can support one another instead of placing blame on each other and your marriage. Pray and develop for overcoming the trial. Praying together is important. Prayer usually leads to oneness and agreement on coping. When we're going through this trial with Caden, we combined our strengths and our weaknesses together once we realized, like, wait a minute. We're going at each other because we're exhausted. We're just physically, mentally, emotionally exhausted. And I get tired, and I don't like anybody. I don't. I'm like, I need sleep. I need to clear my mind and all that. But once he and I came to agreement and realized, like, okay, wait a minute, you know, he was great about hearing the doctors come in and would tell you, you know, exactly what's going on with Caden. This is what he needs. I'm hearing my baby's hurting. He's possibly dying. This is all I'm hearing. I'm not hearing anything else. So the doctors would leave the room, and then he could translate for me and explain it to me, like, wait a minute, this is what he's saying. You know, when the nurses would come in to the room and draw blood or give shots or taking for x-rays, my husband couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. He would get upset at them, thinking they're just treating him like he is no one. If he's crying because they're sticking a needle in him, and I'm like, honey, you cry when they stick a needle in you too. So just let them do their job. This is what they do have to do. So it was to the fact, like, okay, wait a minute. This is what he doesn't need to deal with. Let me handle this part of it. And then the part of hearing the doctor's, I don't need to hear what you're saying to me. He could do that. So realizing it, that the way he was dealing with things and the way I was dealing with things, it made us be able to communicate in a way to, okay, let's make a plan for this trial that we're facing. Because this is huge in our life. And not every trial is huge, but every trial is still a trial that you need that togetherness and to realize, hey, wait a minute, this trial is here. God's not putting it here to tear us apart. It's bringing us to him closer and to each other closer. And you respond to a trial with God's perspective. Confess your sins. Sometimes trials come into your life because of you or your spouse or something. It's sin that you, something you've created or something that you've done. And if it is those type of trials, confess your sins, if that's what brought the trial on, and then take the steps to resolve it. That's a lot of times, too, I think we go do things and bring trials into our lives for things, but we don't want to take the steps to resolve it because it's not easy to do. It's hard. You know, if you need to ask forgiveness to someone, if that's what's needed, then go and do that because it's going to stay there until you do resolve it and try to fix it. If you have not brought on this trial in your life, then know that God has brought this on for your benefit and for his glory. And that's when Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 really comes in with me. I can't make sense of it. I never will here on earth. And I don't think I'm going to be concerned about it when I get to heaven, to the fact of, why would you choose to do this, Lord? Because I've seen blessings. I've seen what God's doing. We have people that I have no idea, and I'll probably never even meet these people that have prayed for him. And he has the most sweetest, tender heart that there is. And I'm thinking, God just does that. God is that good of like, okay, I know it's a little bit I'm putting on him. Yeah, this is a lot, actually, I'm going to put on him. But I'm going to make that tenderness there. He accepts the fact that, you know, he is going through these things. But he's been a witness there at the hospital more than I have, because I'm just sitting back crying half the time whenever he is facing things. And he's the one that's just, I mean, going through some awful hard things in life that he's facing. But he's just, God put something special on him that he just goes through it. But, so God, it is for your benefit. I promise you, y'all. Just try not to look on the other side until God wants you to. Just trust him. Okay, God, I don't like this. I was talking to a teenage girl, and she was upset about something. I said, it's okay. We're human. God knows that. Talk to God as if you're talking to a friend of the fact of it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. Talk to God and let him know. And I said, but just be careful and not to stay there. Don't stay in that anger. You've got to get to the point of saying, this is for your benefit. God's doing this, and it's going to be for his glory. And y'all, trust me, Caden has, within 10 years of his life, been glory to God that it's been given, because there has been no other possible way of anybody getting any glory other than the Lord. But since most marriages will encounter trials, be prepared, just like Peter was saying. Don't act as if, like, what is this coming at me right now? There's going to be trials. There's going to be things in our life that we're facing that we don't like. But those are coming, and don't be surprised by them. Our natural instinct is to lose hope and to blame. Y'all, that's so easy to do, to get into it and be like, there's no hope. I mean, when I got the first diagnosis from Caden, all I was thinking about the entire time, he's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. That's what they're telling me. That's what you're telling me, right? I'm not even listening to the other part. And then it had to get to the point of like, wait a minute. My God's so much bigger than this. And he has been. He's proven it over and over again, and he doesn't have to prove it. He doesn't have to prove it at all, but he has. He's chosen to. Just renew your minds in Scripture daily. My friends, my husband, during these times would give Scripture. That would just, it's what you need at times. One of a teenage girl, she said, it's hard to understand the Bible. I have a hard time getting in the Bible. And I said, yeah, you're right. There is a lot in there that is hard to understand. And I said, but you know what? You're getting in there. You're putting God's word in you. And I said, I promise you, some of those verses that you're reading that you don't quite understand yet, you will. It could be years down the road. God's going to bring this verse up to your mind, or is going to use a friend to bring this back to you. And you're going to realize, and it's going to hurt. It's going to help you. Not hurt you, sorry. It's going to help you for sure. But you have to saturate your minds in God's word. In God's word is there for every trial you face. Do not get to the point where you're just sitting and you're thinking in that trial. Get in God's word, and I promise you, you're going to find what you need to get you out of that. It may not be on your timetable. Trust me, this is Caden's life of the things he's going to face. So until God takes me home, this trial will be there to face. But he's promised to be there, and he's going to get us through it. But it's at the end of it, it says, at all costs, do not allow trials to drive you and your spouse apart. Because that is absolutely the opposite of what God's trying to do. That is Satan. That's exactly what Satan's trying to do. He's going to know your weaknesses. He's going to know your husband's weaknesses. And they're going to come and they're going to clash at each other. And then that's what you need to just cling to. Do not let it drive you apart. That's not what those trials are for. And that's a little easier to kind of say to than to do, because it's hard. It's very hard. But it's still learning how he deals with the trials and how you deal with the trials. But I have a sign up in my house that says, God did not promise days without pain, laughter without sorrow, nor sun without rain, but he did promise strength for the day, comfort for the tears, and light for the way. Everything you need is in God's word. Your comfort for your tears. Your trials are there. The answers are there for it. It may not be the answer to your trial, but it's the answer to help you face it day to day, and to trust him. But that kind of gives you a little bit of who I am, what I've kind of faced. But Lord willing, hopefully it is God's used something to speak to you in a way that the trials you may face, that Lord willing, you can take something from this that can help you face them and go through them. Just don't let them consume you, because I promise you, they're for your good. And say that over day by day. Every second of the day, a lot of times you have to remind yourself, okay, God, this, I know. Because we're going to have days we're going to be like, no, I don't want it. Get it out, Lord. I can't do this anymore. But it's to the point of, okay, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. But so just hang in there, y'all. I don't know if you're facing anything. Don't want to discourage you, but you will. So just hang on and trust him. We'll pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to speak, Lord. And I know with this many ladies in a room, Lord, I'm sure that there's some going through trials, Lord. And if not, they will, or they have already in the past, Lord. But we just want to praise you already and thank you for the trials, Lord, and to help us to remember that these are for our good, Lord, and that it is for your glory. And I just ask you, Lord Jesus, just to help us. Stay close to you, Lord, and to not be surprised when these trials do come, and that you just give us each and every day exactly what we need, Lord, just to face them and continue on. But I want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and I pray that you will watch over us and bring us back safely tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.